Hello, everyone. I'm going to get started here. Let me go ahead and start the recording. So we're going to do open coaching tonight. I rarely do this. I usually save no appointment coaching just for Queen's Club, but we're going to give it a whirl tonight. And you just raise your hand. I'm going to call on you. Here's the rules, though. Do not be walking around with your phone. It will drive me crazy. I'm just going to say I don't manage my mind around it well. The main reason is it, like, I see it and it makes me car sick. So don't be walking around. Please do not be driving. Don't raise your hand if you're driving. So if get somewhere and then you can raise your hand. Other than that, just make sure you have good audio. Don't be like sitting around with like 40 people in a restaurant trying to get some coaching. And I just got back from Las Vegas, final trip of the summer. I swear to God, I've been in mourning today. It's like, this is what Chris Crabtree and I do. We save up all year long to go to Vegas and have our time together. But we had a really amazing time this last weekend. We ended up going with friends, but I haven't even told you guys, but I ended up going with Brooke Castillo and her husband. And so my husband and Brooke, first time since I was certified through the Life Coach School in over 4 years that he's actually met her. So that was fun, but they were cool. We just all hung out and, we just did a lot of pool time and we had dinner one night and then we had brunch yesterday. And so that was fun. And now Chris Crabtree and I are figuring out first, how the hell are we going to get through the fall? Cause we love college football and UT lost their opener against nobody. Gonna be a long football season, y'all. Just saying. All right, Jessica, you were first. You're up. Not to do models around UT. Hello.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, that was so easy. Okay.
Okay, like I love the colors behind you. Oh, all my favorites. All the teals. All right, so what are we coaching on?
Okay, so I need some help reaching my goals. So I feel like I set these goals every month and I don't reach them. So
what happens?
I want to do what?
What happens? Tell me why you think you don't reach your goals.
So I feel like I hype myself up in the beginning of the month for like, it's a new month. I can do this. I've got this. But then I guess like mid month or like 2 weeks in, I just start to like have these little quits.
Yeah.
And then I just say, fuck it. And then before I know it, it's the end of the month.
Quitting? Like there's, I'm going to tell you right now, the problem isn't that you hype yourself up. We just got to figure out how to keep yourself hyped.
Yes. That's what I need.
Hype is good. Hype allows for action. So that's the good part. What in the middle of the month though, why do you stop doing what you say you're going to do? Why is it easier at the first of the month versus in the middle of the month? What's the difference between you two?
I guess I lose sight. Like in the beginning of the month, I'm really focused. Like I write everything down. I plan everything, but then I just stop looking at it. Like I stop thinking about it and I'm like, oh, I've got time to, you know, make up for it whenever. Like usually it's the weekends where I like don't do as well.
Okay. So why are you not doing as well on the weekends then? Then this is obviously the problem.
Because they're different, because I work throughout the week and I have my meals prepped and I've been like prepping my lunches and my dinners separate than like my family's because my kids are picky and my husband's picky. So like, I'll just make my meals and then my husband will be in charge of making their meals. And that seems to work, but then I also think there might be like a level of like deprivation and then like, I'll want to eat what they're eating. So I'll start to eat off their plates.
Yeah, like all of that is your actions, but I'm still trying to figure out why you're doing it. Like when I tell, like when I'm asking you, why do you think you're doing this and stuff? You just keep telling me exactly what you're doing. So do you do the model?
Sometimes, yeah.
Okay, so you have a base familiarity. Everything you're telling me is your action line.
Okay.
And then you're giving me some circumstances. The weekend, I eat stuff I'm not supposed to. Yeah. My plan. We got to figure out the thoughts and feelings that are going on here. So like you said, deprivation. Why are you so deprived?
I try to do gluten-free because I have thyroid issues. So I eat different things than my family. And I guess that leaves me feeling deprived. Because
no, that's your action, eating different things than my family. But you're deprived because of a thought. So why are you so deprived? You're gluten-free. You have thyroid issues. You should be feeling compelled, not deprived. What is your baby thought about it? That's what ends up happening, right? We all get our little, what I always like to call the titty baby thought. That's like what I have when I go to Vegas. I suddenly become a titty baby. I need everybody to do something for me. Like, I'm rendered useless. Someone wait on me.
Yeah.
What's your thought about being gluten-free?
My thought is that I can't eat the things I want to eat, or it's harder for me to make my meals than other people.
Is that really true? Is it really harder, or is it just when you want to eat something that's not on your plan, all of a sudden hard comes into the equation?
I think it's when I want to eat something I know I shouldn't eat. That's when it comes into the equation, because I prep my meals like in the beginning of the week and I've got that down and I don't mind it. I tell myself that it's to make things easy and for less drama, but then I don't know.
Is it just the weekend? So let's get this real specific.
No.
Just the weekends you're having this problem, or is it, cause you keep saying you do so well Monday through Friday. I prep my food. I do these things.
It's not just the weekends. No, it could be, like patterns I've seen are like Monday nights I overeat, Thursday nights I overeat, transition time after dinner.
So let me just ask you this. Why not just stop being gluten-free?
Because I would not feel well. It would not.
Yeah, but you don't feel well now. So why not just be non-gluten-free and learn how to just eat to your plan first? Right now, what you're doing is you're calling yourself gluten-free, lying to yourself, then eating off plan and getting frustrated. That's kind of a shitty way to practice gluten-free, because then what you do is you keep creating the story that it's hard and that it's depriving. Like, you're the one who's getting the, like, creating this drama around it. And it obviously isn't hurting you too bad, or you'd quit doing it, right?
Right. Right. Okay, that makes sense. So just focus on following a plan first before I try to.
Well, I think you have to do that, but I think what you really have to do is admit that you're not gluten-free. You have to quit calling yourself gluten-free. You might want to say, gluten feels like crap in my body, and there are times that I prioritize my mouth desire over the gluten-free. Like, that would be a much better way to say it than, it's so hard. I'm so deprived. I should probably just have this. I'm gluten-free, except for, like, do you see how, like, your story creates, like, a heavy, confusing, I don't know why I can't stay on plan? That's where all the confusion is coming in. It's because you're not telling yourself the truth yet about who you are and who you aren't. It's like, if you're gluten-free, like my niece, if she eats gluten, she shits her pants in high school. Let me just say, she's actually gluten-free. It only took once at a Catholic school in a skirt to shit your pants to learn, I'm a gluten-free girl.
Yeah. No, that doesn't happen if I eat gluten. So.
Yeah. So like with you, the worst that happens when you're not gluten-free anymore is, well, I feel bad about myself. This is terrible. Why am I not following my plan? I got to get all hyped up for the beginning of the month again. That's why I'm saying, like, for all of you, it's like, let's quit trying to be gluten-free and find foods that we like and do all this spinning out in the beginning phases. Let's just tell ourselves the truth first, make a really realistic plan, really follow it. And if it's jacking your thyroid and you're not losing weight and everything, then at least you know for sure what's going on.
Okay.
And you know it's all choice, because now you're owning it. Then you're more likely to not need a hype period. You'll be like one day, like, man, this sucks. Like, I'm all tired and all this other stuff. This is all happening. Like, you'll feel more drawn to want to be gluten-free. I think right now what you're doing is you're trying to force yourself into it.
Yeah.
Because otherwise you would never feel deprived.
Okay.
Now, if you want to choose to be gluten-free, I just want you to do it, but I want you to actually do it. And that means you're going to need to choose to be gluten-free and be like, and I'm also choosing to not like the food sometimes. I'm also choosing to sit and watch my family eat other things. I'm going to choose to tell myself this is not as hard as I'm making it. It's only as hard as I'm willing to think about it. But you get to do either way. I just want you to do it in a way that works for Jessica. Right now, you're doing it ass backward.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. So I kind of started with like reaching my goals and then we kind of got off on the gluten-free thing, but it's all connected.
Yeah. Don't you think you would reach your goals if you would get like, if you would just clean up this, like, well, I'm gluten-free. Now I feel deprived. I'm going to overcorrect and eat some other bullshit. Like the real problem is this. It's not the goal. The goals are never the problem. Goals are never the problem. The real problem is, are you willing to do what it's going to take to get you there? And the one thing that you're not willing to do right now, or that you haven't shown yourself, is this is what gluten-free truly looks like for Jessica. Like, it's not about my thyroid. Now, that's a good side benefit, but what it's really about is it's going to require me to show up this way. And am I willing to do that? If the, and I'm going to tell all of you right now, unless you have a medical condition that says you will die, if it's just, you know, like I'm all for us feeling better and stuff, guys, that is not what I'm saying. I'm not even, and I'm not arguing that it wouldn't help your thyroid. So everybody who's like, what are you telling her? Oh, you know, all the things. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying, let's just roll with how we're doing it anyway, but let's just do it with integrity. Let's just make these plans. And then when you do it with integrity, if you're not feeling well, you will prioritize how you feel. Right now, you're not prioritizing how you feel. You're prioritizing what you want in the moment.
Yep. Okay. That makes sense. Yep.
Is, who's your accountability partner? Sarah Gross?
Me and Sarah. Yep. And then I also have another one. I think he's in here. Brittany Phillips.
Okay. Well, I was going to say, Sarah's cheering for you.
They have,
I don't know if Brittany's in here. I haven't seen her, but they can hold you accountable for, let's start with very realistic plans around your goal, being really honest with yourself. Brittany's here too. You need to report in and be really honest about, like, this is how I'm feeling. Like, I want to see you doing more journaling around, this is how the food that I'm planning is affecting me. I'm choosing these things because I see my husband and child eat them, or my children. Okay. And I'm prioritizing eating their food because I think I need that somehow, you know, to fulfill my happiness stuff. Like, just be real honest about that stuff. And then also be tracking how you're feeling physically along with it. This way you get the accurate picture of what's going on. Then, like, do it for a couple weeks and then have a convo with your girls and be like, I'm going to decide whether or not I'm going to go a week without gluten or not. And I'm going to be on tap if I decide to do it. And if I'm not ready, I'm not doing it. Like, just start giving yourself more information. And then for a lot of you, because there's some other people in here like, oh my God, this is my call right now. What I recommend is, if you don't have a doctor who's actually saying you must remove the gluten, otherwise you're going to, like, all these things will happen, I would just every week recalibrate and be like, am I committed this week? Either I am or I'm not. And take it a week at a time until you get into the habit of committing it a week at a time. And then you can really experience the benefit. Or you just, like, you know what? I'm not noticing such a significant difference in everything that I'm willing to even go through the mental negotiation stuff. I just think just that's always going to benefit you guys more.
Okay. No, that's actually really good. Cause I feel like what you said, I'm forcing myself to do this when no doctor has ever told me to do it. It's just kind of what I've been told by other people who have thyroid issues. So yeah, no, it makes total sense.
Yeah. And just, I mean, everything's an experiment. Y'all always remember all this stuff is an experiment. You do things. And the good news is you know what your problems are. So, you know, look at where your patterns of where you break are and make sure that you have a very realistic plan for those days. get consistent with showing up for yourself. You'll show up different when you get very consistent showing up for yourself. Once that starts happening, the momentum comes of showing up for yourself in a way that wants to level you up some. Then you don't need so many restarts and hype up parties and stuff. You're kind of always like rather than being way up here and then down here, you're kind of just always riding it out. So,
okay.
Thank you. You're a cutie patootie, by the way. I'm just like fascinated.
I'm coming to April camp, so I'll see you there.
Awesome. It's already halfway sold out too. I was like,
yay, I'm excited. Okay, right. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay, Danny. Well, shoot, my thingy's jumping around. Sorry. Hello.
Hi.
You're always on the couch. It's like there's no other place to put your phone or your laptop than right there.
Coffee spot.
What would we be coaching on?
So I wanted your help with a model that I was working on earlier today.
This is a pleasant surprise. I rarely get like anybody wants to help with a model. I feel like a professor.
So I have my unintentional model all, done. And then I have everything filled out for the intentional one except for the thought. That's
Give us the unintentional first so everybody can hear it. So what is the circumstance?
So the circumstance is I'm going on a cruise in November of this year. And my thought is I won't fit in because I'm fat.
Okay.
That feels defeated, depressing, and just ugly. And then my actions are hide. Order delivery, just worry about it, and then numb myself with food, and then
that's all your action. Are you talking about that's what's going to happen between now and then?
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's what's happening currently too.
Okay. You're eating now out of worry about not fitting in a cruise in November.
Yes.
Okay.
And then
what result did you come up with all the things?
Gain weight.
Won't fit in my clothes.
Won't fit into anything. Clothes, the group I'm going with.
Now let's be really, all right. I don't like your result when you say, and I won't fit in with the group that I'm going with. Mm. That is not a result that you can have.
Okay.
Your weight is not going to determine, that's one of the things that you'll have to reconcile between the two models, that your weight is not going to determine you fitting in. What always determines us fitting in?
What I'm thinking about.
What you're thinking about you fitting in.
Yeah.
You could be 5,000 pounds. Mm-hmm. Seriously, there are girls that weigh 500 and 600 pounds and they feel like they fit in everywhere they go.
Right.
There are people that weigh 100 pounds and feel morbidly terrified of the public and that they fit in nowhere. Size is irrelevant to the equation. And how we know is because it's always about what we're thinking about ourselves. So what do you think you actually need to be fixing between now and then?
Well, my thoughts about what I'm going to be doing there and fitting in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did they invite you or did you invite yourself?
Well, my cousin invited me and
but you already fit in.
Yeah.
Let's do this model. My cousin invited me on a cruise and your thought is what?
I wasted all this time and now I won't be at my goal weight for the cruise.
Oh my God, Danny. Seriously.
Yeah.
What do you like? Hey, why do you think you've wasted all this time? Go ahead.
Because I told her I would go on this cruise probably 2 years before it actually is coming up. And so in my mind, I was like, I have all this time. And it was one of my goals that I would think of or one of my, you know, compelling.
What was the goal that you would go to on a cruise then?
At my goal weight, yeah.
So your one of your big lifelong dreams was I will be on a cruise at my goal weight. It wasn't to go on this cruise.
It was to be at my goal weight for this cruise.
Okay. All right. Well, that's not happening.
Right.
So now what?
So now, I mean, I there is still 3 months until we go, so I can work on not only how I think about it, but how I, you know, do the basics and get, you know, and be there in the best me that I can.
Yeah. You could stop wasting fucking time. Mm-hmm. Like, this is not about your weight. This is about you wasting time. Mm-hmm. We've talked about similar things, mm-hmm. but it's like wasting time on thinking that you're not going to fit in, wasting time on eating because you're not going to fit in, mm-hmm. like wasting your time with your thoughts. Mm-hmm. That is where I think like this is really coming down to. Uh-huh. Not like about the last 2 years and you not weighing what you want to weigh. This is, uh-huh. I think, more of a reflection of you sitting there thinking, shit, it's been 2 years. I'm not showing up mm-hmm. the way I want to show up for me.
Yeah.
How much work have you done on, I know we've done some self-love stuff. Mm-hmm. I know like the several things that we've done, but mm-hmm. where are you at on the scheme of like a clean mind, like taking your brain so seriously about yourself?
I feel like I feel like I'm like halfway there, I guess. 'Cause I do catch myself thinking certain thoughts in my everyday life and say, no, that's not, you know, just in my own mind, no, that's not how we think anymore. This is how we're going to do this. I've been doing like the, I would say since the last time you coached me, I've been, most evenings I'll write down, for a while it was just 5 things I did right today. And lately it's been 3 things that I actually like about myself and 5 things that I did, or 5 ways I was good enough today.
Okay.
Well,
that's great. It sounds like I would want to come visit your brain. I was going to ask you, like, is your brain clean enough to invite the queen over to have coffee? Like, would I want to come in and sit down and be like, let's have coffee.
but I'm still like, so I can write, I can come up with those 8 things. But I guess what I'm still working on is really believing them.
Well, here's how we always know when we're still working on believing a thought. Mm-hmm. You know, you believe a thought when the result starts coming true. Okay. So tell me one of your thoughts that you want to believe about yourself.
Something
like in relation to your weight, do you have any that you're working on there or is it other things?
Most of the things that I come up with are other things. So I guess I do, the things that I write down, I do believe, like some of the things that I like about myself are, I think I'm a generous person. And so I do believe that, I like, you know,
do you believe you fit in?
Depends on
if weight was not an issue.
Uh-huh.
If weight was never an issue, if it wasn't, if it had nothing to do with your weight, like seriously, I want you to like pretend for a minute that you didn't have any drama around your body.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's start with that.
Okay.
Since that's the model that you presented with, I won't fit in because of my weight.
Hmm.
And just start saying, I'm open to believing my weight has nothing to do with what people are going to appreciate about me. And then you go into, I'm generous. Like the reasons why you fit in. Like here's the reasons why I'll fit in. Okay. I don't think there's anything wrong with you. I think what you're seeing yourself blow up on is you're losing your weight for the wrong reason. And the reason why I can tell is because you're associating it with well, if I'm overweight, I'm not going to fit in. So if I lose weight, I will fit in.
Mm.
That's not a good reason to lose weight because it's not true. Mm. And your brain knows that. Your brain knows that if you have self-esteem issues and stuff, that you're going to drop 50 pounds and you're going to go and you're going to be just as uncomfortable in your skin.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you may like your reflection in the mirror.
Yeah.
But you intellectually know that your weight is not that. So that's why you got to do more work on just this is going to be two separate projects, essentially.
Okay.
For your first model where you said, you know, the weight thing, I just want your new model to be like, how do you want to feel on this trip?
Excited.
Like when you're there, you want to be, that's what I was going to look for. I would say look for comfortable. I want to be comfortable while I'm there. So you're going to need to be really clear about a thought that's going to create comfort. Otherwise, if you want to be comfortable and you're not, guess what you're going to do?
Eat.
Drink.
And drink a lot while you're there for the wrong reasons. Now, if you want to go on this trip and you want to eat the food and you want to drink the drinks because you're planning and that's like what you plan to have a good time and stuff, that's one thing. But to go and be so uncomfortable in your skin that you need to stay drunk and full the whole time, that's not what we want because that's going to create a lot of discomfort when you go home. And it never makes you comfortable there. It makes you numb.
Right. Yeah.
So why would you want to, like, let's just pretend we're going to lose weight and it's not for this trip, but that happens to be like between now and then, how do you want to be health-wise?
I mean, I want to be healthy. The things that you were talking about how, you know, I did lose 50 pounds and I didn't change. I mean, I changed some of my thoughts and stuff, but I still felt uncomfortable in my own skin, just like you're saying. And it's back and then some. So, I want to be healthy, but I do remember feeling like I had more energy when I had less weight. I almost feel like my brain worked better. Like, there are times when I forget words and like I'm talking about something and my mind goes like blank. And I just don't remember. I mean, maybe it did happen then too, but I just don't remember it happening as much.
I think it's going to be like for you, why do you think you're eating? Like if you already know, like you sound like you have a pretty good reason and like a why where you want to be kind of back where you were.
Mm-hmm.
Like what is going on now that's keeping you from like, why are you eating so much at night? It can't be this trip.
I get it. 'Cause I got so far and I didn't maintain, like, I was in a like a routine and I was doing things, you know, I was food prepping and planning and journaling and doing all these things. And that still wasn't enough to keep the weight off and keep going.
But you're putting it all on your action line.
Mm-hmm.
That was never the problem.
Mm-hmm. I didn't believe that I was going to stay successful.
Yeah. That was always the problem.
Mm-hmm.
You were doing everything. Like, this is what I caution all of you on. This is, girls, if you're not doing the fucking module 4 model lesson, this is why I talk to you about it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of you will come in and skip module 4, and then you'll do all the basics, and you refuse to journal, and then you wonder why it comes back.
Mm-hmm.
Your belief was like, well, I can do these things, but I gotta be perfect in doing these things. You don't learn by doing the modeling of how to clean your mind up and what to do when things aren't perfect and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole point. So you never believed you were going to be truly successful.
Right. And that I was doing these, I think back on like other coaching calls and it was mostly me looking at trying to figure out how I was doing it wrong. Right. And then bringing it and saying, okay, here's how I'm doing it wrong. How do I do it? Right.
Yeah.
So yeah.
You've made a lot of, I will say, you, I want you to give yourself credit for making a lot of progress. I mean, you do models now and stuff. Mm-hmm. I want you though looking harder for the belief thoughts that you have about you that mm-hmm. you really need to start rectifying. Okay. Like what is it going to take for you to just like, if you did this already at 50 pounds and you were doing the journaling and you were feeling better mm-hmm. and everything, why not just turn that on right now? You already know how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You don't even have to go listen to no BS.
Right.
Right?
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So why not? The second we get off this call.
What I remember about when I was doing like daily journaling is just how ugly my thoughts were.
Yeah. That's the good part. Judging it.
And I guess I get, even though I know it's the right thing to do and putting it on paper makes me really look at it and examine it and, you know, do the models and figure out what's a more realistic thought and all those things, I still have to face these ugly things that I'm.
So this is pivotal and I want you to listen to me.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to see the thoughts that are already in your head that as of right now,
mm-hmm.
you're believing and eating over and not seeing. Now we're going to look at them on paper.
Yeah.
That is the only difference. In mm-hmm. your mind, you think that it's something extra bad happens when you see them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just telling you, all the worst case scenarios playing out. Reason why you've regained weight is because you stopped looking at them.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're just like when I told you, you go on this cruise. Mm-hmm. If you feel uncomfortable, you're going to want to eat to numb out. Now all you've done is felt uncomfortable looking at your thoughts and decided to numb out by not doing anything about them. They're still there whether you choose to look at them or not. They do more damage when you don't look at them.
Mm-hmm.
You have no control over things. They run the show when they're just in there, just like, wee, it's a party. Mm-hmm. When they're on paper, the only reason why you wouldn't want to look at it, Danny, is if you think they're bad.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what they are when they become paper?
They're just sentences.
They're circumstances. You can put the circumstance line. They're not facts about you. They're a thought begging you to have a thought about them. And your thought about your, now we're getting meta, but your thoughts about your thoughts are where the real garbage lies.
Mm.
I want you to start looking at them again and just being like, well, of course I would think shit like this.
Mm.
I haven't been checking. It's time to do a model about it. Like, it needs to be that boring, but you don't need to put it down and be like, oh, fuck, I messed up. Like, what the hell? Like, no. And I think the big difference is, you've come a long way in your thought work.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you're going to be as like scared of them and ashamed of them as you were back in the day. I think it's going to be a whole new experience. I think you understand enough about all this now. It's like you're going to do it and be like, oh, yeah, thoughts about mm-hmm. thoughts. I'm going to choose to think. Thank God I'm doing this now because I'm ready to get my shit together.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas before it was like, oh my God, I'm thinking this. I'll never get my shit together. That's the difference between the two models about just your basic thoughts.
Mm. Okay.
All right. Start doing that and start treating yourself physically better. I think you are mentally treating yourself better than I probably have seen you since we've started all this coaching and you've done like in-persons and all the things.
Mm.
Like you haven't even cried. Seriously. You're one of my for sure criers. I'm disappointed. But I want you to think about like, you know, you've come a long way.
Mm-hmm.
And there's zero reason why now we can't just start physically treating ourselves better.
Okay.
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 All right. See you later. Bye. I want to say something. Y'all quit losing weight for events. Seriously. Start losing weight for yourself and for like quit thinking an event or whatever is going to be better if you're thinner. It's not going to be better if you're thinner. You're going to show up at a certain weight. If it's better, it's because of what you decide to think when you enter the room. That's why the experience is better. That's why you fit in. That's why you don't feel judged. Whatever it is, it's always going to be because of what you think when you walk into the room. If you want to lose weight to go there, quit telling yourself you're losing weight so you can feel better there. Start saying, you know what, I want to lose some weight because I want to lose some weight. That's what I'm doing. I'd like to lose this many pounds by here. But do not tie it to an event, because then what that does, guys, it just fucks you up. You start thinking that things outside of you prove your worth, prove your feelings, prove all the things. And that is not how it works. It doesn't work well. Tammy. Hello.
Okay. Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Look at you. Whiteboards. I love them. I am such a whiteboard person.
Yeah. If I could write on my walls, I probably would.
Oh my gosh. You should see our house. We have them everywhere. What are we coaching on?
Okay. So quick question for you. Do you want me to give you the timeline in brief, or do you want me to jump straight into it?
Let me hear the question. Let me see if I need a timeline.
Okay. So I am struggling with rewards, non-food rewards.
Okay. What's the problem?
So it's our 1 year anniversary. So happy anniversary.
I keep forgetting this is like September. So there's a lot of September babies turning one today.
Well, I actually found you with a podcast and then January, but I've been slow. I've been very slow, but I'm happy with how it's gone.
Okay.
So my question is how I can stop struggling with non-food rewards.
What do you mean by that? Like, are you losing weight and then rewarding yourself with food? Or are you saying, I need to come up with some rewards that are non-food related?
That's correct.
Okay.
So I even got like two personal massive things that are happening for me this year. And everybody keeps asking me like, how are you going to celebrate? And normally I have no problem with this, but I think since I've been doing the models and the thought downloads, I think that I'm actually scared to give myself rewards.
Why?
Because I don't, like, you have no idea how much I have tried to write this out. Before I even spoke to you, I touched base with it. I know you said that you're not a dog. You shouldn't give yourself a treat. Like, I just don't, I say I don't know, but I must know somewhere, right? Like, so I thought I'd ask you, what is it?
Well, let me ask you, what are you wanting to, somebody has to go to the bathroom. You can go to the bathroom. Mindy, you're actually next. So you got like 5 minutes. Don't worry. Somebody's like, I know where I'm in the queue because I really have a bladder issue working. He needs the reward of a potty. So tell me what you've done and you want a reward, but you don't know what to do. Is that where we're at?
I think so. Like, I'm finding that. So for example, I'm doing shift work. I'm right at the end of my degree. So I'm trying to get through it because I'm working for free and it's 500 hours. So it's really intense work, what I'm doing. So it's like, okay, I'm finished my shift work and I'm like, okay, well, I'm either going to have a glass of wine, you know, go sit by my fire, or I'm going to have some food. Do you know what I mean? Like those.
Yeah, are you saying you're, well, let's put it this way. Why do you need the reward?
Why is the reward
not just like, I did my fucking job. I did what I signed up to do.
Exactly. And what is that? Like, same with following my plans. Like, I'm on the 16 days follow, which is huge. And for me, and I'm looking at it going, okay, when I get to 100, what's my reward going to be? And the only thing I could come up with in the thought download today was it's around either like shame or it's around validation. Sorry. Seeking validation. Shame was the emotion. So like, I need that validation. I need that
All right, tell yourself good fucking job, Tammy.
You did it. But I tried to say that, but it's almost like as if I'm not enjoying the process and I'm just so future focused.
If you're future focused, you're going to enjoy. If you're past focused, you're probably not. So let me ask you this. What part of the process are you not enjoying? Here's the thing about the 500 hours. Okay. Why do you need a reward for that?
Because I'm doing shift
work. What you're supposed to do?
Yeah, I know. Exactly.
Like me, every time I crank, like I just finished handling the holidays for you guys. Yeah. That'd be like me going to Chris going, what are we doing? Oh my God, do you know I wrote another course today? Fuck yeah, Lee. I cranked it out. I recorded videos. I mean, I should get something. No, I don't get anything. You know what I get? The satisfaction of a job well done.
So maybe it's about me telling myself rather than thinking that I need to get it externally.
Yeah. You're going to have to like celebrate you and be excited. Like I do get excited about that stuff, but I don't have to go out and do something about it. Do you see the difference? It's like you won't feel like you need a reward externally if on the inside you're rewarding yourself. Like how often when you do this stuff, do you talk about like, God, I'm a badass. Like you talk about shift work, like, well, it's shift work. You're not looking for a reward. You're looking for a treat for doing something miserable.
Yeah.
Rather than been like, yeah, I did some shift work. Not many people can do that. Do you know I'm going after 500 hours? If you will think luxuriously about it, you will feel luxuriously about it.
Yeah. Okay. Need to write that down. Think because I think that's it, because I'm missing a lot of my family time, which I would, when I finish this, I wouldn't be doing shift work. And I just keep thinking to myself, like it's against my values. Like I've hardly seen my family in the last couple of weeks. My MP group, I've had to pull out from them and just check in once a week because I'm like,
well, I can tell you why you're looking. I want you to just decide now you're not looking to be rewarded. This is a fallacy most of you are telling yourself. Like I'm going to tell you. So if I like do something amazing, it's really easy for me to come up with a reward. Like I'm going to go buy a purse. Like I don't have a drama around it. If I'm truly rewarding myself because I'm so proud of what I'm doing, your problem is you're looking to do something to check out of feeling bad about what you're doing.
I am, aren't I?
Yeah, and that's not a reward. When we feel like we need a treat, or we feel like we need something along those lines, that's where the smoke signal starts coming up that says, oh, I am creating a lot of drama around this. Like saying, I need to do models on this. This shift work thing that you're doing, it's going against my values is one of your thoughts. That's one.
Yeah.
I'm missing out on my family. No wonder you want to drink wine and eat stuff. I would too. Like, I'm not going to go buy a purse. I'm going to need wine.
So I'm self-medicating is what I'm freaking doing.
Yeah, you need to tell yourself. It's like, I am not missing my family. You know what I'm doing? This is a priority right now. This will better my family. I mean, are you doing this because you want to, I don't know, screw them over? Or are you doing this because you want to better your family?
No, I'm doing it to complete my degree.
Yeah, you've got to watch. I will promise you, if you will clean up the story you're telling yourself around all this, tell it more like think about how you want to be talking to yourself about this. And so like, yeah, sometimes it's really tiring. You know, like I'm going to tell you, there's like some days, it's just like today, I've like literally been going since I got up this morning. And it's like, I haven't seen my son since we left for Vegas on, I don't even remember what day we left. I guess Thursday. And I saw him for like 5 minutes. And I said, mommy has to go straight to a call. And I could sit here and be like, it's going against all my values. Out of my family. Or I could just be like, you know what? This is what happens sometimes. Some days are long. Sometimes we have to do things that we're not exactly thrilled to do. But you know what? The bigger good, like I'm doing this from a good place. That's when you don't feel like you have to be medicated and figure it, like numb it out and all this other stuff. You link it to your purpose. And I think you said something about, I'm not enjoying the process. A lot of us are never going to enjoy the process until we take the process, every little thing, like every completed journal entry that you do, like every one of your 24-hour plans, tie that importance to your ultimate why. Like, why are you doing all of this? Like, for me with weight loss, like, you know, when I fill out a 24-hour plan, I tie it to the purpose of, I got to be authentic. Like, I can't be sitting here and doing this every single day and be fucking around doing something else. Like, for me, the process of the planning and stuff doesn't feel so choreful when I know why I'm really doing it.
So that's
all you remind yourself. So the same thing with the process of getting your degree.
Yeah.
You know, why you're doing so. You know, when I'm doing that shift work, even when it's hard and I miss my family and stuff, it's because one day this is really going to matter. And it's going to matter this way. That's where you start enjoying the process more. It won't mean it's all shits and giggles. It just means it won't need a glass of wine.
Yeah, I gotcha. So sitting with that when it's there and just, yeah. Okay. Thank you. Because I couldn't see that. Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you got on tonight then.
Yeah. This morning. I'm in Australia. So it's morning.
I could tell. Like, I love your accent.
Well, I'm Canadian. But I've been here 17
years. You sound like you're from Australia, though.
Yeah, because I've been here 17 years.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I pick up what I can.
If I moved out of Tennessee, I would probably get a few, I don't know. I might. Well, I have one friend who says, now that I need to say it on purpose, I can't. Like, I say about, like, her and not like a Southern.
Yeah.
I hang around her all the time. And she says about a lot. So I end up saying it more like her. But Chris is always like, you sound just like Jane when you say about.
I reckon that's when you love people. People that you're around that you love, you start getting those traits. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. All right, lady. Get after it.
Okay. Thank you. Take care.
All right. Bye. All right, Mindy Carter. Hope you're back from the potty. All right, I'm going to read this super fast and then we'll get to you. All right. I feel like journaling is a punishment for not doing what I'm supposed to do. That's a thought, Anonymous. Like, when I overeat, then I have to do a TDL on why. And it feels like when I went to school and got in, had to write something 100 times on the board for getting in trouble. So I think this could be why I don't do it. Any suggestions? Yeah, it's exactly what's supposed to be happening. You're supposed to not like the journaling part enough to where you'll stop the overeating. So here's the two things that happen when it comes to rewiring a habit. One, you have got to figure out a way to make that habit painful. So if every time you have to do a journal and a TDL and there's a process behind it, it allows you to have a pause in before to be like, you know, you're going to have to do one of them fucking recovery worksheets. Like, your brain will start going into, this is not just an overeat. This is a long process that we're going to be doing. Are we really all in on having a few bites? So that's one technique and one part of it. The second part is where you're actually doing it wrong. If it feels like a punishment, it's because you think you're punishing yourself. So you're probably sitting there and judging yourself harshly for an overeat rather than saying, and this is part of the process. This is what's going to help me fix the overeats. This is the stuff that I need to know in order to end this cycle, rather than like, fuck me, I got to do a recovery worksheet. I'm such a loser. I'm always going to have to do these. I wonder if I'm ever going to be able to lose weight. If you do all that shit, of course, you're never going to want to do it. But let me just tell you, the way to stop overeating, all roads go through the journal. Every one of them. I do not have people in this tribe who tell me, I lost all my weight and I never had an overeat, never had to do the journaling. If somebody did it, please let me know, because I don't think that that exists. All right. Mindy Carter. I had to get that out. I can't be seeing questions like that and just ignore it. What are we coaching on?
I pulled a Corinne the other day.
Oh, what did I do?
It was a good thing. I ranted to my mother in like Corinne speak. And then I had a little bit of meltdown after it. So it's something that I started to write a model on, and I just kind of need help just getting my thoughts right around.
Okay. Well, what did you tell mom?
Well, my mother was in town for the weekend, and I have a twin sister that lives here close to me, and we just have never been very close, and she's always been very thin. I've always had issues with that. So my mother was here, and she was saying that I could help my sister. Like, can you run some errands for your sister, or how about you help her food prep and all that stuff? Because my sister has all these kind of excuses about the parking lot's too busy to go to the store, and she doesn't like it, and she just doesn't know how to do it, doesn't have time. All the things that I know now that are just excuses.
Right.
But which is what I said in my little mini rant, just like, why, you know, she can do this. I just knew that they were excuses, and I felt like pressured and burdened that I am supposed to, that, you know, me who I've been overweight my whole life and the fat twin finally figures it out. And now I have to help skinny twin because she's like 20 pounds overweight and upset about it.
Why are you upset about this? Like, why do you need to like your mom's right. You should help her.
See, that's what I knew you were going to say, but I don't know why I got so upset. That's why
I don't know why. You said, like, I got my shit together. I know she should be doing this. She can do all this.
Right.
No, she can't. You know how we know?
Because she's not doing it.
Right. Your brain is like, she can do all this. Your brain's wrong. Your sister does not do all this. Does your sister belong to PNP and have like amazing thought work?
No.
Right. So we know for sure she can't do it.
Okay, so that's right. That's true. She can't do it, right? Wait, what are you saying?
I am saying you're enlightened. Your sister's not. Quit being so selfish and help her.
Okay.
I am being your mother.
Okay, so when I actually, before all this happened, I volunteered, hey, I'll go to this Trader Joe's for you. I'll pick it up. But as soon as my mother suggested it, it's when I got upset and rant.
That's what I want to know. Like, why is it upsetting when mama says it? Because I'm seriously not wanting you to just be like, drop everything, go help your sister. I'm just showing you, though, that your thought that she can do it is what's really hosing you on that one particular thing. Because she obviously can't, or she would be. It's just like saying, that would be like saying, you know, all those years I could have lost weight.
I could have, right.
It's already been done. And so like your sister, every time she doesn't go to the store and every time she, you know, with her weight and everything, that's just circumstances in your life now. And you're going to have thoughts about it. So tell me, what's the difference between you wanting to help your sister when you see her and then mom comes in is like, hey, Mindy. I got some advice. I think you should help your sister.
That was what I've been trying to download, or whatever that thing is called. Do a thought download.
TDL.
That's the word, TDL. And what I did figure out is that I'm just feeling like this burden, and a lot of that same burden is just tied into having an elderly mom that I feel obligated to help. And as I was doing the thought download, and of course I can't get it up now because I'm on an iPad and not a piece of paper.
You have your model?
Yeah.
You have the model. What is your circumstance in your model?
Yeah, I'm just going to get it back up because my iPad's, that's the downside of not having it on paper. Okay. The circumstance is mom suggested I help Cindy shop and food prep.
Okay. Did she say those words? I just want to make it clear for everyone.
She said, since you know so much now, since you're in the tribe, since you know so much, maybe you can call Cindy and have her come over on a Sunday and help her food prep and get a list from her for groceries. It's basically kind of that thing. She actually, yeah.
And so that made you think what?
It made me think that I'm so tired of helping my sister and helping my mother. I'm so tired of helping them with everything, and that I know that's a thought because I don't help them with everything.
I want to know why. Why are you tired of helping them?
Because I only want to help myself right now.
Okay.
I'm being selfish. Honest?
No, it's being honest. Like, I don't think there's anything, like, here's what I want you to do. I want you to not judge your thoughts. I want you to just be real honest about what you are thinking, because this is what happens to you guys is you, like, am I being selfish? Because if you're going to judge how you're thinking, you're not going to get to the crux of what's going on and be able to even decide, do I want to keep the thought or not?
Yeah. It was total guilt. I felt totally guilty for thinking that.
Yeah. And why did you feel guilty? Did you think you shouldn't be thinking that?
Yeah.
Why?
Because she's my sister and we're supposed to help, you know? So I have to get to I have to get away from wanting, I don't know. Do I just sit in the belief that, you know what, Mindy, you get to take care of yourself for a while and everybody else can just wait. Or I can say, I've already told her about your
podcast. When you think that, how does that feel? Everybody else can just wait.
I don't think I feel anything. I think it's like a numbness or anger.
So I don't feel anything. Numbness,
just
anger. Numbness.
Just from 0 to 100 miles per hour.
Negative feelings that there are out there. They are actually ranked. That's called not the intentional model.
Yes.
That's why it's really important to think about, like, what are the thoughts that I'm willing to replace it with? Because it's like, do you want it? Like, you are going to sit in resentment and anger. You're going to have all these thoughts.
Okay.
Pick something that's going to work for you. But the first thing we want to do is, so you don't want to be helping right now.
I don't want to be helping right now.
Okay. Let's just be really honest about what you do want to be happening.
Well, here's what I put in my intentional model.
I'm having a heart attack in the background.
I didn't hear. Here's what I put in my intentional model on that one, is that Cindy can take care of herself and can ask for help if she needs it. My mother doesn't have to be the go-between. If Cindy wants help, she can call and she can ask. And then I can decide at that point to help her.
Yeah, and that all sounds really good, but here's what I ultimately want to know. Like, what do you want for you? You're really up in your sister's business. Your model is all about your sister and what your sister can be doing and what she can be thinking and blah, blah, blah. And we still haven't really uncovered other than, I don't want to be helping people.
Okay.
I don't want to help my mom and I don't want to help my sister. Is there anything else, like anything else going on?
Well, it's still tied into that. It's this burden that I feel.
Why do you feel burdened? Do you feel
it's like I'm helping my mother financially or helping her with her house, helping my sister every time a plumbing disaster happens or something like that. My husband
might fall. Why do you feel burdened by that? Your thought about that is what? So we're paying for plumbing. We're paying for mom. Like we're financially assisting people, right?
Yeah. And just physically going over there and doing it. Yeah.
And doing things. All right.
Yes.
You feel burdened. So we're missing the thought. Like, what is the thought that makes you feel burdened?
See, I thought burden was a thought.
No. Here's how we know it's not a thought. I feel burdened. The second word is feel. So we put that in the feeling line.
That's a feeling.
Yeah. Okay. That's a model tip for everyone. Actually, I've recently just learned that is don't allow yourself. If you want to get to the bottom of it, when you say, I feel sad or I feel burdened or I feel whatever, go ahead and put that in your feeling line and then make yourself be like, why would I feel burdened about financial and physical assistance? It's because I keep thinking what?
That there's not enough to go around, that I'm tired, that I'm, I don't know. I think it like ties back to like being a twin and, you know, way back to when we both were fighting for our mother's attention. You know, like, why does she get all the help? And see, now I'm talking about her again. So why don't, if I make it about me, then why is anybody helping me? We're
so that,
you know, when I needed all the help, where was everybody?
So there's one thought, rather than why isn't anybody helping me? No one's helping me.
No one's helping me. Yeah, that is something I did say on my little.
That could be one. Do you feel like, like you have to do all this?
You know, I know that is not a true fact that I have to, that I can say no. But yeah. Then the other part is like, well, who's going to do it? Like, especially when it comes to your mom, you know. But I know I don't technically have to. If I were to fact check myself, yeah, that's not a true statement.
That's why it's really important, because I think this is why you're feeling burdened. You're not telling yourself often enough. This is absolutely your choice.
It's my choice.
I think you keep thinking that like it's not your choice, even though you know intellectually Like, yeah. If you had to bring it to Corinne into model court, you know what would fly. But on the inside, Corinne, really.
Yeah.
It's my mother. What am I going to do? Not give her money, not help her, not do these things?
Yeah.
That's where the burden rub is that you're allowing yourself to believe that this is kind of just happening to you and no one wants to take care of me and all this other stuff, rather than telling the story of,
you have a choice in the matter.
This is really my choice. Like, I need a woman up here. I choose to do this. And if someone's going to take care of me, it's going to be me. Why am I still wanting someone else to do it? We always want someone else to take care of us when we're not willing to admit that we're actually choosing what we're doing. That's when you start taking true ownership of everything you're doing. Anything going on your action line, this is for every single one of you. Your action line does not belong to anyone else. Just like your result, nobody else can be in your result line. Nobody else is in your action line. So if you're paying financially, if you're taking care of someone, if whatever you do, it is because you always chose to do it.
Well, it's kind of like on the last call where you just have to kind of change the mindset about like working all the hours and feeling like you need a treat for it. You have to decide, I'm doing this because I want to help. All right. Is it the same kind of thing?
I think it's the same thing. Cause I want you to I want you to think about this. Cause when I asked you, what did you want? And you're like, I don't want to do it. Like, I want to tell everybody they're going to have to take care of themselves. And then that didn't feel good.
Right.
Because that's really not what you want. What do you really want when it comes to the circumstance being, I'm helping my sister and I'm helping my mother?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. And I know that, you know, like my husband said, you just want someone to be grateful and thankful. But that's not it, because they are. They say that. But I want to.
Well, if you're feeling burdened now, let's think about usually what we do with models is whatever we're feeling in the ineffective or the unintentional model, which is the one that's running right now.
Yeah.
You almost always are going to want to have like an alternate feeling. So if you don't want to feel burdened, what would you like to feel when doing all of this?
Like it was my choice. Or the opposite of burdened, which is what? I don't know. I'm being generous, which that doesn't feel right.
Generous?
I'm Scrooge. I mean.
Intentional?
Intentional?
Unconditional.
Oh, unconditional.
There's lots of really good words. You could also do something like compassionate, understanding, helpful.
Okay.
Willing.
So these are things I want to feel about it.
These are all options. What I would do is I would go through and I would think, you know, I know that I'm going to help my mom and my sister. Mm-hmm. In the end, I'm not the kind of person who says, it's a hell no. Like,
all right,
guys, I need a break and bye. Go figure it out. I mean, there are people who will do that and will feel super solid. Like, I'm the kind of person to be like, sorry. Like, you know, like I will do so much. And then at a certain point, I'm just like, time to learn some lessons.
Yeah. But well, my mother even, she got to the point where she wouldn't even tell me things that were going wrong in her house because she didn't want me to feel responsible for fixing them. And then that just felt worse.
Yeah, probably because if you're feeling burdened when you do things, do you think you're over there doing it joyfully?
Yeah, no.
No. You're probably doing it, but it's very apparent you're uncomfortable doing it. So that's why it's important for you to think about, all right, if I'm going to help my mother and I'm going to be helping my sister and I'm going to do it, I might as well do it like a badass. I might as well not do it at my own expense, because not only is it costing me financially and physically to go help them, now it's costing me emotionally.
Right.
By this shit I put on myself about it. So that's when you have to decide, like, all right, if I'm going to go over there, like, I like compassionate. I like willing.
Well, okay.
I love you guys. Like, I may not like everything all the time, but I love you, and that's why I'm here.
Okay, so, but when it's something that I want to do, like I like to help them redesign their spaces because that's just what I'd love to do. I'll go over there. I'll drive an hour and a half every weekend to go help mom redesign her space. And I'll spend stupid money on curtains and just stupid stuff because it's pretty and I enjoy it. But when it came down to helping my, and even with my sister, I'll go over there and help her, you know, rearrange her house and pick floors. I mean, all kinds of stuff. But when it came
Why is that so fun for you?
Because I'm a designer. That's just, I love it. But when it came to helping her with tribe stuff, with my weight, the one thing that I've conquered on my own, I didn't want to give that away to my sister. But if my friend...
Are you giving it away to her? What are you actually giving to her?
That's what it felt like, taking something from me that is my very own thing, my very own weight loss that I did by myself, which I know is not true. But you know what I mean? My very own thing, my accomplishment, the one thing that I've tried to do my entire life that I finally got it done. I know those are exaggerations. But I finally, in my adult life, have got this sorted.
Okay. Stuff. Okay.
I didn't want to share it with her. But it's the oddest thing because my best friend and another really good friend are in the tribe, or one's about to be, and I will do anything to help them. But when my mom asked me to help my sister, I was just like, which is just like, it just, what was that about?
This is everything you just said. You need to rewatch the video.
Okay.
Everything you literally just said, this is mine. I don't want her to have it. Like somehow your sister experiencing the same amount of success will take something away from you.
Right. Okay.
You have a fear that if I share this with my sister.
And that's just old twin bullshit.
Right. Well, that's probably going to have to be your intentional thought. This is ridiculous. If I help my sister lose weight, how old are you?
54.
Just say like at 54 years old, I'm going to have to quit acting like we're 10.
No, that's.
But I mean, I think that's the whole thing. That's what it comes. You're going to have to start there. Just be like, oh, come on, Mindy. Seriously. Mm-hmm. Like, don't, let's think about it this way though. If we were going to tell it a different way, wouldn't it be amazing to say like, I was always the fat twin and now I'm teaching the thin one how to fucking lose the weight. Who's a badass now?
Yeah. That's,
share our glory. You're thinking you're going to like share your secrets and then somehow she's going to be number one.
Yeah. Okay. That's true. Yeah. Okay.
It's only as true as you make it. Seriously, everything, like I just give y'all a different perspective because I don't have a twin.
Mm-hmm.
My brother was always the thin one. Always. And then I lost weight and he had gained weight. Mm-hmm. And then he asked me about working out and he asked me about like eating right and stuff. And I told him some shit, but it was because I was so proud of me that I didn't have to worry that I was going to lose anything by giving some of that away.
So okay.
I want you to be very proud in yourself. Like before you start sharing things with your sister, do it because you love you so much. There's no way in hell you would want to deny anybody else this.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah. And just think, oh my gosh, did you ever dream you would be the sister who gave the other one the diet advice?
Mm-hmm. Go figure.
I know. That's what you need to be thinking about. Like, God, dreams do come true.
Well, it is kind of a compliment. She's always asking me about it. And it used to be, you know, such a different dynamic. And the fact that my mother wants me to help my sister, that is a compliment. But at the time,
yeah. I was. She's like, you had her shit together. Will you help this one get hers together?
Yeah. I was just like, are you kidding me? I literally that morning, I think I really just felt overburdened anyway.
Yes.
And that just kind of added to it. But that's why we have thought models, right? So we can like write this stuff down and figure it out.
I really think your problems are going to be solved the moment that you start working on all of this burden stuff, when you start really working on like, there is no one better than me to be doing this. Like I choose to do it. I'm doing it. I'm going to do it gladly. Then I think you start opening yourself up to start seeing like how everybody sees you as a badass. I don't think you're seeing yourself as that. I think you're seeing yourself as the burdened sister, the one who's just being taken from.
Well, isn't it the thing that kind of happens when you kind of give and give and give and you never set boundaries, then you always feel like
that's a lie.
Oh,
there are, I give and give and give all the time and I never feel burdened. You know what I feel like?
What?
I have immense capacity to give.
Okay.
I get joy from it. Like you've got to be giving with joy. Like I get, like I never think about everything that I do and give as like they're taking from me.
Okay. Or
that's the difference.
Okay.
But you don't need boundaries to be like giver. That'd be like saying, you know, that Mother Teresa, she probably sat down there all the time just being like, I'm burden as fuck, man. She probably didn't say the F word, but you know, like Mother Teresa had an immense capacity to give because she did it through love. And she knew she was doing it. She never felt like anybody made her do it.
Okay. And so that would kind of, I don't really do it now since I'm in the tribe, but I used to just eat over it. I mean, just kept, because I had that feeling like I can't do it. I'm a graphic designer, so when I do a lot of work and I just keep doing and doing and doing, but it is giving, because when you're doing it, when you're an artist, you really are giving of yourself. But my mindset wasn't that I was freely and happily giving it. It was that people were asking too much of me sometimes.
Well, and that's why we end up eating, because if we feel like external things are taking from us, we're going to internally satisfy that desire.
Yeah.
That's the one thing we can control. Like, oh, if I can't control all this, if all this is going to happen to me, I'm just going to eat. That's how we get, like, I'm going to control my emotions right now rather than like doing it with our thoughts.
Yeah. And so I haven't been overeating over issues. So all that burden stuff was just kind of building up. Because I wasn't like releasing the steam a bit.
You keep doing your models. You're doing good. Okay. You just need to like be so proud of yourself. Your homework is go be proud.
All right. Yeah. I was 35 pounds since April. I'm an April baby, and then 70 pounds overall. So
there you go. See?
Something to be proud of. And my sister's never lost 70 pounds, much less 35. So there.
I know. And you know what she's going to do? She's going to have like a, she's going to be a titty baby losing 20. You'd be like, I was like 70. What are you talking about?
Right. I know. I just, yeah.
You're going
to delete this if she ever joins the tribe. You have to delete this video.
Okay. Well, just mark the day. Let support know, like, please take my video down.
There you go.
All right.
All right. Well, thank you.
You're welcome. Good to meet
you. All right. Bye. Bye.
Y'all crack me up when people in your family, like, respect you and you take it as a disrespect. Brittany, you're next. Hello. Hi. Can you hear me? Yes.
Okay. I'm so excited. I've never done this before.
Are you the friend of the first caller?
I am, of Jessica.
Oh, yes. My God, y'all look so much alike.
Oh, I'm going to take that as a complex. I think she's adorable. So
well, I think
thanks.
You are too. I was just like,
well, thank you.
You look so much like your bestie. All right. So okay. What are we coaching on?
Well, kind of it was what was Jessica was saying too. The weekends, I kind of blow through. I'm great Monday through Friday. And then, like last night, I think last night is really what I'm wanting coaching on. I had made my plan. I'm sticking to it, had a really good week, really ended August really well. And then we're watching a football game last night and I was like, I think I want some of my snacks and I didn't need them. I was at my two, but for some reason my brain was just like, I need to feel that really full feeling. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, I've got to feel that full feeling. And I don't know why I did that. Then after I ate, everything I ate was on my plan. I had planned all the things just in case. But afterwards, I was just disappointed. And I was just like, come on, girl. Why did you do this? You don't have to feel that way.
Why do you think you did? Like, why do you think last night you wanted to feel full? And don't make it harder than it is. This is probably not going to be deep.
I don't know. I think I was just kind of bored and just kind of wanting to feel that. I was happy. We were home. It was a weekend. My husband and I are both really busy and we were just there. And I just kind of wanted to have that like full, like just satisfied feeling.
Yeah. Were you satisfied with the experience you were having?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I was having a good time. We were just watching TV and just hanging out, but I just,
did you remind yourself, like when you started noticing you wanted to be full and feel satisfied, did you remind yourself about how satisfying everything going on around you was? Or did you just really focus in on that food?
Focus in on the cosmic brownies that I had on my plan. That's exactly what I did.
Yeah. I think that's really all that happened. I don't think this is like an earth shattering thing. I think this is happens to a lot of us is that we have an urge and we want something and we get really focused on the food and we start thinking, I don't know why I want all that. Like I just want to feel full. Like your brain is telling you exactly what you're really wanting. You want to feel full. You want to feel satisfied rather than taking the shit, like say, like, you know what? I'm going to give myself 5 minutes to think about how full of love I have right now, how relaxed I am right now, how satisfied I am with the experience I'm having. I'm just going to shift my attention. And if in 5 more minutes, if I still want my cosmic brownie, it will wait on me. It's not like it's going to run out the door and say like, oh, you ignored me.
Okay.
That I really think that that is so big for a lot of you, is that like we want it to be a bigger deal than it is. Like you just need to notice that sometimes after a weekend and you like, I had it on my plan, like your brain's going to scroll through, like, it's okay. It's okay. If you notice something's wrong, divert your attention away from the food for just a minute to really take in what's right about right now.
Okay.
Otherwise you start looking for everything that's wrong in the moment right now. And you just want relief from all that drama that you have about, oh, should I have a brownie or not? Oh, do I want this or not? I just want to feel full. Like, you see what I'm saying?
Oh yeah, absolutely. No, and I think that I can absolutely do that. My other, I guess, challenge is that I'm a teacher, and so I've worked really hard this
week.
Tell
them to quit calling you.
There you go. Okay. I know. So I'm a teacher, and I've worked really hard this week on my, like, mindsets, and I've done a great job, like truly, like every single day. But then the weekends hit and I'm just like, oh, like I just kind of go crazy. And I plan everything, but I just
describe what crazy is. On the weekends I go, like, if everything's planned, are you eating what's on the plan or eating off the plan?
No, I'm eating on plan. I'm blowing
why is it crazy
two.
Then
well, I'm blowing past my two, because we, like, during the weekdays I do all my meal prep on Sundays, and I have like lunches and dinners. And honestly, I usually don't even eat lunch. I drink my coffee in the morning, and then about like on my drive home around like 4 or 5, I'll eat my snack and I have dinner. And so on the weekends when I'm home, it's, you know, my husband wants to have two meals. And so I'm like, okay, fine, we can go out, because we usually go out and have dinner on the weekends and stuff. And so I'll plan Mexican food, or I'll, that's my weakness. I love Mexican food, or I'll plan pizza or something like that, and I'll eat it, but I'll just go past it. And so I feel like I'm working really hard throughout the week to just re-lose what I've gained over that weekend. I'm also the one, if you remember, that was like, I'm stuck at 210. I can't get past it. I'm going to show her that I can't get past December. And then I did, because I really stuck to it. So I think if I can just stick through the weekends, I can hit my goal.
What's the difference between your thought during the week when you're eating to your two and the one on the weekend? That's the only thing that's happening. It's not because it's the weekend. Mm-hmm. The weekend is the circumstance. You have thoughts about your two on the weekend that's different than your two during the week.
Mm-hmm. My thoughts during the week are, think about Friday's weigh-in, like get to Friday, like that's the end goal. And then when I hit that goal on Friday, it's like, woohoo, celebrate, you hit that goal. And I'm just completely negating everything that I've done throughout the week.
Okay, so we just need to re-game up and be honest with ourselves and say, like, okay, it's not about Friday.
Mm-hmm.
You got to quit telling yourself the Friday weigh-in's coming. We got to weigh in on Friday, because what you're basically, the self-sabotaging thing is that when you hit Friday, you've built up so much drama around it that you now need relief.
Yeah.
You're eating it through your food. Like, are you, like, the stuff you're doing Monday through Friday, is that the stuff you want to be doing? Why do you need relief on the weekend then?
Stuff I'm doing, like my eating habits, is that what you're asking?
Yeah, like during the week, what are your thoughts behind that food? Other than you gotta get to Friday, because that's a jacked thought right there.
Yeah, it is. No, my thoughts are fine, honestly. I mean, I'm not eating only like diet foods or only salads.
I don't care what you're eating. I want to know the thoughts behind it. Like when you eat your dinner, you think, like, what is your general thoughts about the dinner, other than it's got to get me through to Friday? I got to be good until Friday.
My thoughts are, it's good. Like, I like the dinners that I have, and I'm trying to not use the busy word. I have very full days. And so I like having a lot of full, I like having the schedule. Like I work really well with the bells. I'm a typical teacher. And so I like that structure.
So what goes on in your brain then on the weekend? Because you don't have bells and you don't have a full schedule and you have pizza and going out to eat and a lot of probably idle time.
Yes. Yeah.
And what is your thoughts about all that? Like, that's what's causing you to eat.
Yeah. I mean, I guess my thoughts are just, I can do whatever. I'm free. I guess.
Yeah, you can do whatever, but that doesn't mean you get to eat whatever you want.
No, I know.
You ever tell yourself that?
Yes, I do. And okay. I do well And then I have those moments of like, I just have to feel full. I just have to have this. And
why do you have to feel full? What if you just don't feel full? What's going to happen?
Nothing's going to happen.
No, well, something is. That's why you're avoiding it. Something is going to happen in your brain. Now, this is what I want you to pay attention.
Okay.
We know intellectually, like, you're not going to die. And you're not going to be like, oh, my God. You know, like, nothing real is going to happen. But imaginarily, I don't even know if that's a word, something's going to happen if you don't get full. That's what we got to figure out, because whatever you're imagining is going to happen if you deny yourself fullness is the reason why you won't do it.
Okay. I guess it would be, I feel hungry. I feel,
So if you don't get full, you're going to feel hungry.
Yes.
Which I guess won't happen. So we need to tell we need to remind ourselves like this is really important. And I think you're going to need to do this like this weekend to really figure out the freak out that you have about it. It's kind of hard to do it right now because you probably have never paid attention to it. Mm-mm. You probably haven't not responded to your urge enough to even know really what it is. The quickest and easiest way to figure out what you think is to not get full. Like just you don't even have to do it all weekend. Like, just be like, you know what I'm going to do this weekend? One meal, I'm going to on purpose want to get full, and I'm not going to do it because I want to hear the hissy fit of which goes on in my head. Whatever that conversation is what's like the back end self-sabotage thoughts that are keeping you from stopping. Like,
okay.
It's the weekend, and now that when we're not full, then you're going to probably have to think about your work week. This busy schedule you've got coming up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know you're not using the word busy, but I think the word busy is living in there. This is where we have to be like, just really honest with ourselves. And we're doing our thought and like, yeah, I think I'm a busy person. I know it's not serving me, but I keep saying, like, I keep believing it. So then on the weekends when I've, you know, ate on plan all week and I've been so busy with my full schedule and I've done all the things and I want to be full. I need a reward. I got to get some relief from all that I've really been thinking about this week.
Mm-hmm.
In those moments on the weekend when you don't have the food, it's probably what you're doing.
You're okay.
Thinking I got to go through another week of what I just did. And even if it's not horrible, it's still like, if it doesn't feel like woohoo, of course you'll want to eat.
Yeah, no, that's really true. I honestly hadn't thought about it that way. And that is really true. I've been doing the new journaling pages that you have. I've tried those. I'm on day 7 of doing those consecutively. So I'm really noticing, I'm handling my stress at work a lot better than what I have been. So, just stopping at and thinking about what you've said, I think will definitely help too. And cause I really hadn't thought about that me kind of going eating what I want to eat and blowing past my twos on the weekend is still me kind of recovering in my own weird way from the week that I've just had.
Yeah. And I really think that if you'll just do one time where you listen to see what like, and be very willing to hear the doo-doo of which will come up without judging it. There's nothing wrong with it. We just want to know that's what's there. Because when you hear it, it's like, well, no wonder every weekend I'm wanting to eat. Like if I'm thinking, you know, oh my gosh, Monday's going to be a rough day. I'm going to need to get all my shit together. I've got a whole nother week of like, I need to get this done. You're setting yourself up for the, like, it's just like compounding. So that on Friday, it's like, I met my, like the biggest problem you have is that whole setup of Friday is like relief day. Like, I get the weigh-in out of the way. I've got the busy work week out of the way. Like all things are clear. And now we're going to go in with a plan. And it's going to look very realistic. It's going to look good, but I'm going to struggle with the two every single time because eating past two is going to feel so good. And that's not what I'm allowing myself during the week. You may not be throwing yourself under the bus anymore, but you're kind of getting drugged behind the wagon now.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's just get all the way on and have a nice smooth ride.
Yes. Okay. I can do that. Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. Your whole crew is going to just be like,
we got so much to work on.
I know. We're excited for all the new, that massive action line, all the different accountability stuff in it. So we're excited for that.
Oh my gosh. Y'all are going to love the next 8 weeks. We have so many amazing things planned. I'm just like, I can't even wait to do it all.
Well, all right. Thank you for all you do. We appreciate it.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye.
All right. Let's get Tanya. Hey guys, I will for sure not get through everyone. Let's see. We are at 7:24. Sarah, Karen, and Cindy, you're probably going to be the only ones. Everybody else, just in case you're like waiting, there's about 40 of you with your hands rose, and I just don't want you to be hanging around thinking that you're going to get called on. I know I won't get to all of you. But I'm going fast. Tonight's fast night. I'm telling you, I'm trying not to be too terrible. Tanya, are you where you can, let's see, start the video? I don't hear you, Tanya. Okay, I'm going to go to Sarah. We might as well get this whole group. Well, hang on. My thing is stuck. While this is trying to get pulled up, Sarah, I'm going to promote you and answer this question. I'm feeling frustrated that I've only lost 18 pounds since April when I joined. And because lots of family drama, I've gained it back instead of losing. Okay. Anonymous, step one is you're going to have to go back through module 4 of No BS. The biggest problem that you have right now is you said, I've joined weight because of family drama, and you've not gained weight because of family drama. You've gained weight because you decided to eat because of family drama instead of doing your work around the family drama. I want to have a new start with No BS. Do I start with orientation, then fresh start? What we're going to be doing, do I wait for the newbies or start now? You can do your orientation this week if you want to, but we're starting everything on Sunday. So don't worry, we're going to start all things on Sunday. But I would not spend this week just sitting around doing nothing. I'd go ahead and listen to module 4 and start doing some work around this family drama stuff. That's what I would do this week. That'll be really good work for you. Sarah, I'm going to take you back off since Tanya's up, and then raise your hand and I'll call on you next. Okay. Can you say something, Tanya?
Hello.
Hello. All right. Just want to make sure we had sound. All right. I'm glad that worked out. So tell me what we're coaching on.
Actually, I have questions about maintenance. I am...
This is like my lucky night. Somebody brought models. Now someone's bringing maintenance. I'm getting all the things.
So I have a 5-pound window that okay. I consider maintenance. And as of Friday, I'm in that window. I'm not at lowest weight, but I'm in that window.
Okay.
So a lot of thought work about I'm living in maintenance now. And what does that look like? And I put in and asked coaches because my thoughts are if I'm doing the basics, if I'm eating to my plus two and I'm drinking my water and all the things, as you would say, won't I continue to lose weight?
You will, but what I have found is that what happens with most people is once you get to a certain point, you're not, it's like you start naturally leveling out. It's like you'll wait till you're kind of hungry and then you'll stop right more at about just past satisfied. It's like you won't always really just be stopping at satisfied. You'll know if you're doing twos because the weight will actually stop coming down.
Okay. Okay.
Where do you think you're at right now? Like, do you feel like your two is like your plus two is really your plus two now? Or do you think you may be like a 2.5, 3 because you're used to eating these quantities and things like that?
No, I think here lately, what I have noticed, I'm an April baby.
And okay.
What I is that, you know, things that I would have eaten before PNP without even a thought.
Yeah.
You know, it's a half to a third of what I eat now, not because I'm depriving myself. I can't eat that much anymore.
Yeah.
So I feel, you know, you described it very good. That kind of like feeling of, okay, I'm full, or satisfied. That's where I stop. And, you know, I have good days and bad days, but for the majority of it, I did my numbers just the other day, and about 75% of the time, I'm hitting it on mark, man. I'm doing great. But in my head, I keep hearing the thoughts of, well, you got to be doing something different in maintenance or you're going to continue to lose weight.
No, here's what I would do. I wouldn't do anything different. If you keep losing weight, then play with on the plus side or the minus side. Just pick one. So okay. You decide, like, let's say you keep losing weight and you're like, no, I really want to stay right here. Usually what happens is your body naturally just levels out. And if you want to keep losing, then we have to dial it back a little bit or we have to tweak something. And if you want to stop losing, we just dial it up a little and we tweak something. So you really would want to decide at that point is like, do I want to wait until I'm, you know, like it depends on how hungry you get. Like when you say you get hungry, like where would you say, is it just a negative two or do you sometimes go to a three or where do you kind of play on that side?
Yeah, sometimes it's a three and a four. It just, you know, I would say 80% of the time I'm at a two, but okay. Sometimes when there's been a change, I actually created a change protocol because if there's a change in my schedule and something that came up and made me leave and I can't eat, well then, you know, it may be 2:30 or 3 before I eat. And by the time I'm at a four. Yeah.
What I would do is I would just not wait until negative fours anymore. If you want to stop losing, just really wait until you're a negative two, which is just your natural hunger. And then, like, if that doesn't do it, you could add to, like, just a little bit more food on the plus side, but just a little. Like, what I usually tell people is if you want to really stop your weight loss, do it that way. A lot of people want to start adding exceptions. Like, oh, I get to have an extra exception. I get to have an extra exception. I always caution against that because then that's telling me you're wanting to put back in food like as like excitement.
Okay.
I would much rather you just give yourself more healthful food and adjust there because I just think when we get to maintenance, we've got to practice being at maintenance for a little while, like the mindset around it and not reintroduce what probably got us here to begin with, which is food being overly exciting, looking forward to it and all the things. I mean, most of my calls tonight have been about that. So it's like, you know, what I would say to you would be just really, if you get to the point to where you don't want to lose any more weight and you notice your weight continues to go down, then don't wait past that two first. And then you can always add just a touch more. It really won't take much.
Okay. Okay. And is it recommended to have like that window where like a 5-pound window that you kind of gauge yourself on?
Yeah, I have like 10.
Oh, okay.
Like okay. I go usually in the winter, you'll start seeing like I'll start losing some weight because it's like we're done with the summer. But I always have like a, like depending on if I'm running, depending on if I'm lifting heavy, like I have like 1,000 to 10 pound window. But I like having that. I like knowing like in the summer, I'm going to want to have more drinks. That's just the way we roll. We go to Vegas a lot. I don't want to be sitting there and not doing that. And I'm also willing to pay the price though in the fall, which means we dial it way back and I eat more healthier and I, you know, focus in on the work. It's just, I always like to think about it as seasons and I just don't get all caught up in, you know, the weight, but I kind of like having a bigger range, but I'm a bigger girl. Like I've been lifting weights for a long time. I can fucking do a leg day and gain like 6 pounds. It's not, and like drink a bottle of water, you know, it's like, there's three more, you know, it's just. So when you carry more muscle, I think you just have a bigger range. But I think you don't, do you lift weights or anything like that?
No. In fact, that was one of the things I had as a personal challenge for this month was that I am incorporating yoga and doing some upper arm weights.
Yeah.
I had surgery about a year and a half ago. And it was actually my orthopedist that said, you really need, because I walk, I'm good at walking for my movement, but the orthopedist is saying for really for your core, he really recommends yoga. So I just started that this month.
Your 5-pound one will be just fine. Like, unless, I mean, like, I'm in there, you know, going to town on beast mode. So you'll be fine. I think that's perfect too, because yoga is such a good strengthener in a lot of different ways, especially for joints and stuff. So I would totally do all that. Okay. Yeah, I think a 5-pound window is great. I mean, for a lot of you, and a lot of you just don't even want to do more than five. Some of you, I would always encourage everybody, though, to when you set your goal weight, you're not, like, let's say you want to weigh 150. Like, you're just not going to weigh 150 every day. You really need to have, like, I'm going to be somewhere between, let's say, 148 and 153, something along those lines. Just whatever, like, it can be whatever you want. Like, I have I go from 148 to 158. That's kind of like how I like to have my range. So it just, like, I would always have, like, when you guys are setting goals, think more about a range that you can play in. So, like, if you want to go for the holidays and you want to, like, I don't mind putting on 3 or 4 pounds. You don't do the mind fuck around it. And you know, like, yeah, like, that's in my range. And I know exactly how to get, you know, into the lower end of my range if I want to.
So as I get my core stronger and I start doing some more heavier, maybe weights and stuff, I know muscle weighs more. So don't,
unless you're going to lift like 4 or 5 days a week, it's probably not going to make a difference.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You really probably, you're going to, like, so I typically lift, right now I'm only lifting 2 because I'm training for a thing, but majority of the year I'm lifting 4 to 5 days a week. So,
okay.
I would do 5. I think you will do fine at 5.
Okay. All right. Do you have a bonus course on maintenance?
We are working on putting that into the Queen's Club. It's something that we've all been talking about. We were, there's a lot going on behind the scenes. Let's put it that way.
Okay. All right. All right. I can't wait then. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. All right. Okay. Bye-bye. All right, Sarah, let's get you back up. Okay. So I've got the whole crew now. It's like the Three Musketeers jumped on and was like, bam.
Yeah.
What are we coaching on?
So I am on, like, my final descent towards goal weight. I know, because I've taken all the drama and judgment out since our last call.
Good.
So I'm really ready to work on, like, one of the, like, last kind of things where I eat, and that's at work.
Okay.
And I know it's because I'm not perfect. Like, I'm not meeting my perfectionist fantasies at work. Mm-hmm. And so I eat to, like, procrastinate, avoid getting started on things. And I sit in a lot of overwhelm all the time. And so my thought downloads are a lot about just, like, what I call, like, overwhelm management, like making a list of 3 things to get done that day and things like that. But I really want to be more proactive and, like, work on the root cause, not just kind of managing it, and get over this, like, hump.
Well, it's got to be the perfectionist thinking, right?
Yeah.
Like, is it judgment of self, judgment from others, or what?
Oh, it's totally judgment of self. That's, like, my whole story is, like, I'm going to get fired because I'm not doing all the things. But that's the only place that shows up is in my brain. Not, like, there's no evidence. Like, there's, like, I have 2 or 3 circumstances at work. Like, I have a job. I have a list of things that I've been assigned. Like, I have 2 bosses. Like, it usually boils down to that's it.
And then you're just taking things that they say or whatever, make it mean I'm going to get fired?
No, they don't even say anything. It's all in my brain.
That's awesome. Well, yours is an easy fix since you are so far into the journey. You know what your problem is. You have to just stop doing it.
Okay.
What we call fondling our problem. Like, you found your fondle baby. Like, oh, I'm fascinating eating. Let me keep something around. It's like, you're just going to have to be like, you know what? I get to sit in overwhelm until I'm fucking tired of myself. And then, like, when you think I'm going to get fired, you're really going to have to say, like, that's always what I think, and moving on. And, like, I can either sit in overwhelm, or I can start doing something, or I can just sit here and think about my thoughts. but we're not judging. We're not doing any of that anymore. Like, I really think that because you're so good at all your thought work. I've gotten on to Betsy about this before. Betsy's here. This is why I'm calling her out. She'll tell you that we have coached on this, where it's like at a certain point, you know exactly what your problem is. You cannot model it anymore. You cannot keep like thinking you're going to uncover something. It's like, fuck, I think I just have to stop doing it now. Does that make sense?
Yes.
I mean, like literally.
All right. Because that's it.
But I mean, what do you think about that? It's not going to be easy.
I just have so many thoughts about it, right? Like, so like, I can model it to death because I have a bajillion thoughts.
And I just
model and model and model, and then I model to procrastinate, and then I eat to procrastinate modeling, and then, you know, it just...
What are you avoiding through all of this? Like, what is it that's, like, not getting done? Like, I'm modeling about my stuff. Now I'm eating about my stuff. Like, what are you ignoring?
That I just can't get what I want to done. Like, I have to do what I'm assigned, and it's not what I'm assigned to do is not like my big dream for my role. Like,
so do you think you're entitled to get to do your dream every day?
No,
thank God.
I want to, but I don't get to.
Yeah. You know why you don't get to? Because it's not important. What you're doing today will lead you to your big dream. You thought about that?
Yes, sometimes. Probably not as often as I could be. That would probably help me get moving.
Yeah, like you need to, like, it kind of goes back to that call that I talked about earlier. Some of the shit that you're saying, like, you know, like, this is the stuff that I have to do. You know, it takes me away from all the dream things I want to do. It's like, no. The dream doesn't get realized until this stuff gets done. This is part of that journey and you're fighting it. No wonder you don't want to do it because you're not tying it to the dream. You're not tying it to your purpose. You're thinking that it's just something you have to be doing. I work with Brooke Castillo.
Yeah.
I teach a business class for her usually once every couple months or something. I teach the other life coaches, like, how you get shit done. Like, they always want me to teach a class on how to get shit done because I get a lot of shit done. I tell them all the time, 85% of chasing your dream is doing the stuff you don't want to do. Like, literally, your bliss, your dream, your, like, magic job, all the things will always be, like, 85% full of you doing stuff that you never wanted to do, but you're willing to do it with a smile on your face. It's like you sit there and you just think, I'm going to love all of it no matter what. If my dream is that important and I want it that bad, I will love every piece of it. It's just like when we want to lose weight. Can you imagine if you procrastinated every single time you didn't, like, you wanted to eat and, like, you just went and ate?
I'd be not here.
No, you tied every single denied urge to where you wanted to be. But that denied urge was like filing papers. It's like stapling some shit, writing some email you don't even want to talk about, doing the math, whatever it is, right? I mean, that's really what our denied urges is, like in the business sense.
Right.
It's the same thing, but those things are tied to your ultimate dream, but you have to tie them. And that's not what you're doing right now. You're tying it. You're saying it takes me away from it. It's taking me away from that vision that
Yes, exactly. Okay. I can do that. It's easy for me to tie things together.
Look at your face. It's so happy. I can tell, like, something just clicked because all of a sudden you're like, that I can do.
Done. I'm like, oh yeah, this will be easy now.
It should be easy because you've already, like, tell everybody how much weight you've lost, just in case.
100 pounds.
Well, y'all hear that? Everybody pay attention. I'm so proud of you. It's so, like, I'm so proud of all of you, but I've just watched Sarah through so many calls, and I mean, I feel like and you're so young, and I feel like you're like one of my babies. I've always wanted to, like, help younger women. How old are you?
I'm 28.
See, and like when I was 28, Sarah, that was when I was pregnant, Logan, putting that last 70 on for fun, just getting after it. So I'm just so glad. Like all of you girls that are like in your 20s and 30s, I swear to God, when you're like our age, you're going to thank yourself so much for doing this shit. Seriously.
Well, I have a lot to get done in the next couple of years. So I'm excited to hit my goal weight and make some other really big goals.
You're going to do it. I mean, I'm going to tell you, when you can lose weight, you can fucking do anything you want. The world is your oyster. All right. I'm proud of you, baby.
You're welcome.
Bye. It is like watching her grow up. I swear to God, I feel like I've watched her grow up. Karen Music. Hello, Karen Music.
Hi, Corinne.
How are you?
Fine, thank you. My name's just Karen. I'm a music teacher, so my username is sometimes Karen Music.
There we go. Well, what am I coaching you on?
So I've heard you talk about this topic with a lot of tribe members, and I just want to dig into it a little bit with you about preserving mental bandwidth during the day so that you have enough to get through the evening.
Yes.
Because my issue is teaching all day and coming home and just allowing every urge to get me instead of sitting with it. So I'm I've heard a million calls on this where teachers say they're good till 4 o'clock, they come home, they overeat. And that's me every day. So I threw this into Ask Coaches, and the response was to remind yourself of your question throughout the day, like post-it note on your desk or whatever. And so a day last week I tried, how will I stay calm today? Mm-hmm. And just sort of monitor my emotional level to be even instead of jacked up.
Well, So here's what I want to back you up on.
Okay.
I think you haven't done enough work on figuring out what it is you're actually jacked up about all day.
Okay.
There's probably, and this is, I see this with teachers a lot, but this is every profession.
Mm-hmm.
The lawyers, the doctors, the stay-at-home moms. We all have this idea that, like, I just want you to quit saying it's because I'm a teacher. All of the teachers, all of the nurses, all of you, quit blaming your jobs for why you're eating in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
That's not why you're doing it. It is all of the judgments and the criticisms and the things that you have going on all day long about your life and your belief that the job is what's causing it. That is why you're eating.
But
okay. You can't just feel better about something you think's bad. Like, how am I going to stay calm today? It's like, why the fuck are you not calm anyway? That's the real question. Like, if you're having to ask yourself, how can I stay calm? We need to dive in and be like, why am I not calm all day long? Why have I decided that at work I'm not calm? That'd be like me saying, I get up today and I'm like, How am I going to be calm on that coaching call tonight? Wouldn't y'all love it if I had to do so much work when I'm listening to you? You know what I think? You know what my question of the day usually is? How am I going to finish the day accomplished? How am I going to end the day proud?
Mm-hmm.
I want you to notice the nuances between the question.
Okay.
One is about what am I going to produce today? Because there already must be something in me that believes, that's already like on the right track for emotions. Yours is like, well, if I don't figure out how to be calm, must be a shit show.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to feel better about not being on the right track to begin with.
Okay.
So what I would encourage you to do is really observe your mind during the day, but you got to do it without being hard on yourself. I want you to like spend a week, and this is not going to be hard. I want you to just notice benign bullshit that you think when you're at the job. Like, I can't believe we can't take bathroom breaks. Like, it's going to be bullshit stuff. It will be a litany of bullshit.
Like, I can't believe I just saw that behavior. Or I can't believe that class was as much of a disaster as it really was. Or I can't believe that kid is in my class.
Yeah, like shit like that.
Yeah.
Like so now we're going to try to feel calm about having a kid that we don't want. We have to figure out how to want the kid.
Yeah.
And why you're going to be like, and then like believe in yourself so much is like, they should bring all of them to me. You know why? Because I'm a badass teacher. Like, we know that you're not doing enough of that work. You're not using your circumstances to trigger you to show up better for yourself. You're using your circumstances to trigger you to eat against yourself.
Okay.
And that's starting with, first, you got to know what's broke.
Okay.
We need to know all the thoughts that are going on around it. And this is the thing. They're broken thoughts, but they're not you being broken. They're just like, I'm going to guarantee you're going to go into the teacher's lounge and everybody's going to be like, man, you know, so hard at this school. Just so hard being a teacher. You'll be in the pool of everyone who thinks just like you and it will feel so normal. And that's what the problem is. You're going to have to rise above the norm.
Okay.
You're going to have to be the one who is like, you know, I have this kid. He's got some challenges. Rather than want me, you're going to have to work on why not me.
So another thought that I tried to focus on that I think was more positive was I have what I need to succeed today. And it started out as I have what I need to get through this day. And then I was like, well, that's kind of defeatist. So I changed it to I have what I need to succeed or I have what I need to be productive today.
Yeah.
Rather than going into the day feeling like my tank wasn't full.
Yeah. But but this is the thing that I want you to note. My hair's getting wilder by the minute. When it comes to your tank being full, whose job is that?
My job.
And what depletes it?
Me thinking I can't be calm all day.
Right. And that's the key is like when you really can like notice what thoughts you're doing and that you take full responsibility, it's like, I got to go in with a full tank. It's my job to do it. When we think the job is taking our gas out of us, like that's where I want you to watch for what thoughts am I having during the day that I'm depleting myself, where I'm blaming, where I'm thinking it's unfair or it's too hard or whatever it is, you're going to want food in the afternoon.
Yeah.
And you will still want food, but if you can go into the time when you're going to want the food without feeling stressed out and wore out from your own brain all day long, you're more likely to show up for yourself. But if you're not showing up for yourself all day, you for fuck sure are not going to show up for yourself at 4 o'clock when it comes to food because they're going to be bored.
Yeah. So do I state, like, let's say I have the thought of, I can't believe this class is so misbehaved. Do I state that more as a circumstance, like this class is in my room? And here I am.
I would just write, honestly, I wouldn't even do models yet. I would spend a week just writing all the general thoughts you have, then go back through and try to figure out the circumstances. So like if the kids are, like your thought is, this class is full of kids who don't behave, then the circumstance would be my classroom.
But I guess what I'm asking is, what do I tell myself in the moment to flip
that? Right now you're not going to tell yourself anything.
Okay.
Right now, literally, because I think that's one of the reasons why you're getting like, you got to know exactly what's broke first. Otherwise, what happens is I watch you guys, like if you're trying to come up with a thought about these misbehaving kids and stuff, but you really believe they're misbehaving, that they're not acting the way they should. We've got to like really understand what you're thinking first before you're going to be able to change a thought.
Okay.
Prove to yourself these are just thoughts. Okay. Otherwise, it's going to be like, I have everything I need to deal with assholes. You see how that doesn't work though?
Yeah.
It's like, we want to get to the point where you can be like, I have a class. There's how many kids are in the class?
24.
I have a class. There's 24 kids. And this week there were X amount of I don't know. Do you give little detention slips or little dinghies or whatever?
Yeah.
You get like, this week we have this many. And then you do a model. And then that's when you're like, oh my God, they're not all misbehaving. I'm misbehaving by casting judgment on them.
Okay.
That's the model for you. And it's like, I'm not seeing what's right about some of these kids. I'm not seeing their potential. You start going through and be like, do I want to be the kind of teacher that's judging them? Or do I want to be the kind of teacher that's on the look for what's going right with these kids so I can build a pipe? That's when you start having the different conversations with your health. And then when, as you're doing that and you're like working on your mind there, it's so much easier to work on your mind at home.
Okay.
If your mind is like snacking on doo-doo judgment all day, it's going to want to snack on Cheetos when it gets home too.
Okay.
Does that help?
Yeah, definitely.
You're changing lives. You should be thrilled.
Right?
Seriously. I'm thrilled. You should be. You should be thrilled with yourself.
Okay.
If nothing else, for all the teachers, we have a podcast coming out for you guys, and I kind of give it to you in the ass a little bit because I'm just like, y'all quit blaming your damn job. What I want for all of you is to like really sit back and write about what you're doing. You are affecting children, the future, every day. No, however you're showing up, that is what you're doing. And like, you have to kind of take a pause sometimes and be like, God, even when they misbehave, I need to, if you're telling yourself enough about what it is that you're doing and you really relish in it, some of the other bullshit will not matter as much. Okay. And then you really focus in on the stuff you don't like and get on there. Okay. Somebody is saying to please reach out to Amber Young in the tribe. She's a fellow teacher.
We are friends.
Teach them how to regulate and behave.
That's funny. We actually have a regulation zone. I mean, there's a lot of comparisons between PMP and some of our building-wide behavior stuff. So it's interesting. But yeah, Amber and I messaged each other right away when I joined PMP because she was a music teacher. And we were like, I think we should be friends.
Oh my gosh, yeah. I love it when you guys start finding people who are like, you know, like your peoples, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So, okay. Go check.
Thank you.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
All right, y'all. I think we're going to call it there. If everybody will please pray for Florida. We have a lot of tribe members in the Florida area. I really hope that everything works out there, not just for our tribe members, but my mother's down there with my uncle and two dogs and a cat. And they are staying at their house in Vero Beach, which is right there. They keep calling it the cone of uncertainty. So she's in the middle of it all too. So she's messaging me right now. I think she's wanting to talk to me and my brother before everything blows in, just in case. So y'all have a good one, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye, y'all. Oh, Georgia and Carolina too. Thank you, Rhonda. All the states.